Hi, good evening, everyone. Oh, fucking, no, never mind. Let's try it again. Hello, everyone. Once again, welcome back to Geniuses, Poets, and Artists. I am Kim. I'm still Kim. It's always me. I'm always doing this podcast. And I have with me Nikhil.
Hello, everyone. Nikhil here.
Yes, Nikhil. Welcome to the podcast. It's been a long time. I just saw you on stage about 2 weeks ago in the Modern Schemers show. And who are you?
So I'm Nikhil.
Yes.
I am an improviser,
uh-huh.
And I'm an improviser with the Modern Schemers here in Singapore. Yeah, I've been doing improv for quite a while.
When you say quite a while, how long is this quite a while?
I would say since January 2012.
January
2012.
Quite specific.
That is very specific.
Why do you know it was January?
Because I remember it being January 2012, which was the last semester of my NUS time, right?
So, it was the last one.
It was the last one, last semester, Jan 2012. Yeah, I graduated in May, I believe, in 2012, right? So Jan 2012 is when I remember, because I was in the midst of my final year project, scratching my head. I don't think not having a good time. And I remember at that time, my dear friend Singji, who sends me an email telling about this concept, this new thing called improvised theater, all right? Which didn't make any sense to me, because till then I was in the amateur scene, theater scene in NUS. I just saw it. I was like, oh, theater without scripts. Don't have to spend any time. You know what? Might as well give it a try. So yeah, that was literally the first one. And I showed up for the very first one. And guess who did not show up? My friend Singji.
Oh.
So it's just me who showed up for the very first one.
Flake.
Yes. And I believe that email came from you, Kim.
It was?
I don't
remember, to be honest. This was a while back. But yeah, it's quite probable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I now pay a guy to do this.
Yeah. Hence Jan 2012, final year, final semester of
NUS. Specific,
I
like
very
it.
Specific. Yeah.
God.
How many years is that?
Nine years.
Jesus freaking.
Well, yes. There goes my explicit rating again.
I didn't use it.
No, you didn't. But now you can.
Now I can?
Because it's done. The floodgate is open.
Wait,
the floodgate of fucks.
Of fuck?
Sorry, listeners. I know some of you have these sensitive earbuds.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Kim is just taunting me to say the F word.
I just went for it. Yeah. Okay. I guess it must be the memory of all those college days, you know, when you could just say anything. And NUS had this blanket license that allowed you to basically do any kind of art until they shut you down.
Correct.
And now I'm not in NUS anymore.
Yeah, neither of us are in NUS.
Where am I going with this? I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, not that I'm thinking about any licensing thing all the time or whatever. At all.
What's license? No idea what license is, Kim. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that precisely, but okay. Let's just roll with that, okay?
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
So, who are you now, Nikhil?
Who am I now? Wow, that's a very loaded question, Kim. Who am I now?
I give you the bullets. You can fire them wherever you want to go.
Let's stick to improv, you know? I'm a guy who's happy where I am doing improv. You know, I told you I run Modern Schemers.
Mm-hmm. You run it?
Let's put it this way. It's a team that runs itself.
Ah, yes. Lovely. Okay.
I'm maybe just the face or the WhatsApp number behind it. Let's put it that way.
I mean, that's a vital function.
Correct.
Let's just put it that way, yeah.
Yes. So that's the extent to which I run it at this point, right? I do that for the Modern Schemers. We are, let's put it this way. We are, what are we? Modern Schemers is a team, again, that has been there maybe since the start of time in the Singapore scene.
Okay,
in terms of 9 years. And we are a team that has done maybe everything from, I don't know, gender shows to monster shows to the show that you watched 2 weeks ago. We've been there. But otherwise, I work for Facebook. I've just recently changed my job.
Facebook. Oh my.
Yes, and I am figuring my way out in this new job. So it's an exciting time, a big change in my life. So yeah, it's nice. Good to be here with you, man. You know, in this point in my life. Oh, you see? You asked me a loaded question.
I did ask you a loaded question.
There you go.
Most people go like, yeah, I like improv. It's great. Yay. I do the improv. Yay. And then you're like, I'm happy to be here right now.
In this, at this point.
Right now.
Right now. With you, Kim.
Yeah.
I mean it. Man, right. I mean it. I genuinely mean it.
Good.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you say that, because at no point was I thinking, oh, he doesn't mean it.
Hey.
I was just more like thinking about all the other things. You know, I've known you about 9 years now.
That is true. Literally, right, since Jan 2012.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We pinpointed that very precisely. Yes. And that's a long time. That's like one of the longest associations I have with improvisers here in Singapore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do I know anyone longer?
Probably. The others in the modern schemas.
Yeah. It was the first session, right? So probably not.
Like, no. It was there since 2011, if I remember correctly.
So maybe Luke?
Yeah, Luke.
Luke S.
Uh-huh.
I think
those guys were there prior.
Jesus.
I know. Hey, do you want to go down that memory lane?
No. Wait, that's feel like an extra loaded question. So
exactly.
Let's just rewind that. If I want to talk to them, I'll bring them on the podcast.
Correct, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, good. So, well, the next question usually is, how did you get into improv? But you answered that already of your own accord. Well done. Mind reading.
Mwah. There you go.
Lovely. Yeah. I just really like this thing, so I'm just gonna, yeah. There's no good reason for that. I just like these buttons.
Kim, just tell me when you're gonna bring that into improv. You know, we give us a button where you just press these when our audience are not applauding for us. Can I? I mean,
yeah.
Hopefully, we just bring this in to an improv show.
Oh, you know, I was just doing a photo shoot the other day, and we wanted people to play the audience so that we could get some audience shots.
Yeah.
And then they weren't looking happy enough. So I started screaming at them. I was like, applaud! Applaud! Clap! Laugh! And then the photographer took some shots of them laughing. It was beautiful.
Were they scared into like laughing and applauding?
I think it's a mixture of respect and fear.
Wow. Something that Singaporeans truly respond to.
I mean, I was brought up Singaporean. Yeah. Right? You know, when I have a policeman looking at me, there is a certain... It's an inbred part of me. Inbred. No, that's not the word. But okay, let's just use that. There's an inbred part of me that goes, I must do what he says.
Yes.
And that voice is always there. It's been built into me. That's the word.
I think that's
not
the
bred,
thing.
Bred into
bred
me.
Into you.
Well, you know, when a man makes a country in his image.
Oh, sorry. A country. Oh, I thought you were going down the bread route.
No. I mean, there were attempts, but we've... You know, I was actually talking to an expat the other day. And I was telling him, oh yeah, we had a eugenics program. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no. And I was like, yes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, no. And he was like, no.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah. Wikipedia did it. And he was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Just, I like teaching people about my country.
Exactly.
And so, I love my country.
No.
I do. I'm a patriot.
Yep.
I love many parts of my country as well.
I think most people are in that place with their country.
Country.
Though,
not necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of parts of that country.
Correct.
And the history is fascinating. Like the,
it's an amazing place.
You know, the whole like retracting penis thing. Koru. No, I think it was like in the 1950s or 60s. There was this hysteria sweeping
Please
Singapore.
Please give me context there.
Yeah. And then people were just like, my penis is retracting into my body. And then a lot of men apparently believed this. They rushed themselves to the hospital, grabbing themselves by the genitals to prevent it from retracting. And, you know, it's actually on the NLB side.
Wow. I'm going to walk away today knowing this retracting penis.
And so are you all audiences. You've learned something today.
There you go.
If you didn't know that, you do now.
Kim, I'm guessing in your iPad that you're holding right next to you, you have interesting facts of Singapore.
No, this is literally the next question I'm supposed to ask you, which, I mean, the last question was, what was your favorite improv thing? And we wandered over to retracting penises. So, hey, let's just roll with that. That's great.
Yeah. What was the question?
What was your favorite improv thing? What is your favorite improv thing?
What is your favorite improv thing? Thing.
Yeah. And because it could be anything, right? It could be a coach, it could be a style, it could be a show you've watched, it could maybe, I don't know, your... How when you look in the mirror and you say yes and you like the look on that.
Mm.
Or, you know, it could just be how... I don't know, when you watch someone fuck up on stage and then you laugh loudly. Okay, I might be projecting a bit.
No. I know. That's your answers. These are all... Those are all your answers.
That's true.
I think to me... Let me put it this way. To me, the best thing about improv has been the people I've met and the friendships I've made.
Oh.
I genuinely think... I think there is a bond that you make with the improv players that you have with playing. And I think that bond... To quote a friend who said, who quoted another paper, I believe.
A third degree quote.
A third degree quote who said that good friends are so similar that their brains work alike. And I believe he was quoting some scientific paper, mm-hmm. and he quoted that to me in reference to maybe how, in reference to how us and schemers, you know, operate to a certain regard. And I think that's the thing, right? Is you spend so much time together, mm-hmm. you get on stage, and you do show after show, but the thing about it is the friendship, or the, you know, the fact that you can meet up the next day or the week after or even like months later, you get a beer, and show is just one thing. Yeah. But I think it's the people and the genuinely, I take that. You can't take that for granted, right? Friends come and go.
Yeah.
But you know, this group has, you know, stayed together, and it's just amazing.
So, thought experiment here.
Tell me.
Well, some of the last few guys, I didn't really, I mean, I think Jester, you know, it's been TCP for 4 or 5 years, but you guys have been together for like basically 9 years at this point. How would your life be different if you hadn't gone to that session?
Markedly different. Uh-huh. I think we've taken a path that at this point, due to butterfly effect, would be so hard to predict that I would even say, okay, I'm certain I would have found something else that gave me joy. But I think to me is that improv has been there both because of its people as well as the art form to give me support at times when I needed either a creative outlet to maybe find myself. You know, that in the early 20s, I was at a point where, okay, maybe at that point we were literally coming up with ideas after ideas to do shows. And improv was there, you know, to complement what I was doing at work maybe at that point. To drive that aspect of the creative outlet, right? So I would say that I think my life would have been different to the point where that right now it's given me an avenue, an outlet to maybe be myself, to understand who I am. And the second aspect to it is also because of improv, and because the scene has now, you know, grown to such a point where there's so many people, so many ideas, so many people with different ideas. It's also been that idea melting pot where it's opened my eyes just by meeting people from different avenues of life that I may not have had access to if not for improv, right? So just opening yourself to new ideas because of the sheer ideology of improv, let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah,
you better keep your mind and eyes open. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that I don't take for granted. It's came with that art form, right? So yeah, I think that's it. So it would have been markedly different. Maybe I would have been up on stage, I don't know, doing something else. I was always on stage at that point, as well as I said, amateur theater was there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, maybe doing something else. So yeah.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I was talking to someone today, and he was saying that for him, improv has made him likelier to stay in Singapore, which is not really what I set out to do.
What have you done to that person?
Yeah, no, but he was saying something quite similar. Like, he's met a lot of people that he really likes spending a lot of time with, and that means that his bonds here are a bit stronger. Mm. And so he's a bit likelier to stay, even if that means that he has to, like, I don't know, change his jobs or figure out other arrangements for that. And so, yeah, just a butterfly effect, right?
Yeah, it really is. It really is, you know. And added to the fact that, you know, as I said, people, it's not just people in Singapore, it's, you know, we've been going to festivals as well, right? Yeah, and yeah. I do want to give a shout out to all these amazing improvisers that I've met, I'm sure you have met, across the various festivals in Asia. At least those are the ones I've attended, you know, be it Manila, be it Shanghai, be it India. Such amazing people. Like, again, which I am certain I would have never met if not for improv, right? I mean, from the amazing people at Manila to India to Shanghai, and their worldviews and their problems and their stories and their, you know, life. Mm-hmm. And it's genuinely something that has cherished my life and, you know, added that little thing on top just to meet these people and hear their stories. So, I'm grateful genuinely for that.
Okay. Wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. And it is the people. I wonder sometimes, is it improv selects the people select the improv. Because, I mean, there are people who don't do the improv, or they come and they're like, oh, this isn't for me, and they disappear. And maybe they're great people, maybe they're assholes, but it seems that the communities we do meet and we do form tend to be pretty awesome. And the self-selecting thing, I think the ones that don't find it awesome or don't necessarily fit.
They leave.
Yeah.
Maybe they leave. And the people who stay behind, stay behind for the people and to support the community. Because they believe in the community.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And this art form without the community would have been very weird. Would be non-existent maybe even. Like, you know, I think this art form survives to this day.
100%.
Yeah, because of the community, right? So, however big or small your community is, you know, I'm not telling you need to know 100 people in the community.
No.
Your community, your tribe can be the 5 people.
It changes, I think.
It changes, correct.
You know, from moment to moment, like, you know, we start in NUS, some fucking like dank, like half basement place. And then you're like, oh, okay, this place is a bit moldy, possibly. If it smells like a gym, basically, okay. Yeah. You know, and then there's like 10 people there, and then we still add a few more, 20. Do our first festival. That changes the complexion of the community. People start talking to each other, start doing things together. You start creating awesome things together.
Yeah.
And then you see when people need help, they reach out, and there's people who are willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, right? We, you know, you say talk about make your partner look good. We do that on stage, but we also, as a community, I think we do try to embody that. In your life as well. When someone needs help or someone needs a bit of a boost, we do that. We reach out, we have that hand, reach out to each other because we are stronger together.
Correct. And we have to be. Whenever challenges come, look out for each other. And I hope we continue doing that.
I think that's also a kind of a conscious choice that we want to make as members of this community to really shape how things are done. Because people can pull it in a certain way, but if we want to embody the kind of society, the kind of community we want to be part of, and in continuing to behave that way, we show that example, we show this the way forward, which is why we want to, you know, be good people.
And that commitment is not just to the community, but I think also to the society and the audience. I end of the day, art is a very moving thing, right? We are privileged to be doing this,
yes,
right? Mm-hmm. It's a privilege to be able to get on stage to cheer up a person's life or an audience member who's come. And along with that also, as you said, make the society a better place, right? And you have that moral responsibility to also take the society in the direction you believe it to be going. And because art is a very, very, very great place for that, because you're not preaching to people, right? I know they're coming just for an entertainment, a night of evening of or what afternoon of laughter, but as people being on stage, it's also our maybe that duty to also paint maybe or show a mirror to where the society is. Push people. So I think that's also something that it comes because of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure your values show up there, your taste shows up on art, but. My point is it's not just to the community,
right,
but also to the society and the audience that comes in.
Yeah. Yeah. People have paid money. They spend time to come down, right, in the middle of possibly a pandemic, maybe, just so happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
To say, hey, I'm going to spend some time in this room. I'm going to watch you on stage make up stuff.
Yeah.
And then that is where the duty lies, because we want to repay that.
Yes.
We want to say, hey, you've done this. Now let me do my part. Let me make this evening that was worth it for you.
Correct. And that's the thing. I believe at that point in time, maybe we're starting to do shows in a let's say a professional capacity, right? When Improv Company was first formed and the Schemas all came, maybe around that same time. I remember having this chat with the Schemas where at that point, I know it was very important for us to really state it out that people are coming in, people are paying a certain amount of money. It is our duty first and foremost to entertain them, right? Entertain doesn't have to mean you have to make them laugh out loud, right? Whatever, thought provoking, whatever it may be, but it's literally engage, right? But engage, entertain them, number one, right? And then everything else can follow from there, because otherwise, they could have just sat at home and
done all kinds of fun things all by themselves.
All by themselves. So truly, truly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How would you describe your relationship to improv?
Relationship with improv.
A friendly lover? Is it maybe an abusive mom?
Wow.
I don't know. What? Maybe, you know, a good friend?
A shadow. It's evolved.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. It's evolved from where I was like 9 years ago to now.
Yeah.
And I think it happens as well with, maybe we have that luxury of looking back and seeing it evolve as well. But I think also because of how the community and the art has evolved in this the space, you know, maybe it was good to be there at that point. Where at start, maybe 1-2 years, we were literally finding our footing. I was finding my footing, right?
Yeah.
And it took a while to even get there. So I think at that point, it was more of a rabid learner at that starting point. Where we were trying everything out.
Yeah.
At that point, we had no international trainers coming in. Yeah, it was literally going into a dank room with a mold, figuring out what improv is. So that's a rabid learner too. A point where we started getting people, we started teaching, right? And you started teaching. I was more of a, you know, performing person. But at that point, it was more of figuring out what improv on stage meant. So I think there it was, relationship was really, how do you make it this product that can be consumed? So maybe,
and like any other product, you know, the initial test batches, you'll be like,
what the hell is that? Right? But that was a time when literally we started doing, Schema started doing shows every 2 weeks. Now I know it's been pulled off, but we used to be doing shows, what, once every 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
We would do 3 months of rehearsal and then do the next show.
Yeah.
And then we evolved to doing, so yeah, that was rapid evolution, like, you know, just evolving again. But and to a point now, I think I am comfortable. I don't say I'm the old man, but I'm comfortable with improv. Like I know where I am.
Okay.
I know where I am with my team. Improv to me now is this space of comfort. Let's put it that way. Like I'm sure I'll go. Maybe I'll, the evolution will continue. I'm sure. But now is I get on stage and. Let me put it this way: I maybe know where whatever, what's gonna happen. Not like I'm predicting it, but yeah. I know you're pointing to your head.
Because podcasts work this podcasts, way, right?
Exactly.
I'm doing this, I'm like ripping off my clothes right now.
Yeah.
I'm just like running around like a naked.
Yes, completely.
And no one can see
Kim,
it.
Kim, just
you.
Sit down, Kim. Kim, just sit down. Okay, he's putting all back right. his clothes on.
Great.
Yeah, good, great. Oh goodness, now we can continue. Now, so I think that level of comfort. Is where I am. You know, you talked about the show 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was a show where, I don't advise this to any new improviser, where going in with one session of rehearsal, but please don't do that. You know, anyone watching or listening to this, that is not my advice. But we've reached a point where I think we are comfortable and aware of each other, that we trust each other to get on stage and both make us look good and more importantly make the audience have a great time. So that's where I'm right now. That's a relationship with improv.
Okay.
It's a soothing, warm soup.
Soup. Like, what is this thing?
Soup. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I did something similar. Like, so, you know, Miguel has been asking for people to do shows, and we, TCP has been doing a lot of shows. Sometimes to the point where people are like, "Oh, let's do a show," and then we're like, "Okay." People say, "I'm available," and then we're like, "Okay, what are we gonna do?" Don't know. And then someone forms a WhatsApp chat, and say, "Okay, what are we doing? Okay, let's just few things down. Okay, when do we have time for rehearsal? No. Okay, I guess we just turn out on a day.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay, yeah.
We turn up, and we're like.
You do a show?
I'm doing a show, man. What are we doing now? PowerPoint. And suddenly we're doing the show, and we're like, oh, hey, I just did a show without practice. It's fine, I guess.
It's fine. But I think you need to get to a point to get there.
True.
I don't think you can't jump from step
like
zero to step 10.
A designer, right? You're a designer. Oh, draw me a logo, and it does for like 5 minutes. Here, $5,000. And you're like, what? And then it's not the 5 minutes that you spend. It's all the 20 years of experience, of learning, of, you know, of actually doing things and getting better at it that you're paying for.
Yeah. Did someone charge you $5,000 for a logo?
No. Although I think I got charged $600 once, and then that person copied it from another improv theater elsewhere, basically did some italics and then charged me $500, which is part of being a business person, right? You learn things like that. You're like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, hey,
I could do that.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the fact that now you know you can do it.
Yes.
Yeah. that now you'll pay it to a guy who will give you 5,000. He's like, oh, okay, yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's part of the process of learning.
That's the process, yeah. But my point is that we went through 2 years of literally, you know, doing shows every 2 weeks. We had this schema improv nights. I don't know how many. We hit like 20, 30 of them. Mm. And every show was a different show. We had a theme. It had like, yeah, that was a like point of constant iteration. Every show was different. Our team was also different at that point. We all learned a lot from each other to a point where, you know, you could produce a show on an instant's notice. And these are things that you learn as well, right? Improv is not just about going up on stage. It's also the other aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know right now people are doing it for us, you know, through other means. But yeah, and you learn that. And now because of that, as you said, you can get up on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you just need... Actually, you know what? You also don't need anything.
No.
Yeah.
I think it was Peter Brook who said, what you need is a performer and audience.
Yeah. And that's it. So
probably a space, but hey, I mean, one day we will leave our physical shells behind.
True. True. So, yeah. A warm, soothing soup.
Other than improv, what do you do for fun?
Other than improv, what do I do for fun? Wow. Very loaded questions. back in the pre-pandemic times, I would like to say I like to travel. Like to do this and that and meet people, cultures. And hey, guess what? Now what? I'm here in Singapore. But I found other means. Let's put it that way. I like cycling now. It's my way to...
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, same.
You also cycled?
Yeah, just started in September.
September, yeah. I think around the same time when cycles were becoming the premium commodity in Singapore.
Yeah.
And you had to... I literally had to go find a guy on Carousel. Same?
You probably outbid me for something.
Probably. And I couldn't get for like 3 weeks, and I'm sure we both were outbidding each other. And then I got some cycle from a guy in Ang Mo Kio. He sold me a lemon.
Oh.
Yeah, both the tires went kaput. A new bike, in literally 2 months, both the tires just ripped off from the outside.
Wow.
And I took it to the shop, and the guy was like, where did you buy this from? I was like, I bought it from a guy from Ang Mo Kio. He said, why did you buy from a guy from Ang Mo Kio? I was like, I don't have answers, uncle.
Yeah, to be fair, after that, I realized that the bikes in the shop aren't much more expensive.
Yeah.
You could get a new one for like $50 more.
Exactly.
But you know, you believe the hype that Carousel gives you, like, oh yeah, of course.
It sounds great. Sounds great. But then he changed my both the tires, and now it's a great bike.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, I like to cycle.
What's your usual kind of?
So I cycle around ECP to City, and do a loop. I guess it's about 30-40 kilometers.
Nice.
It's like a good, I don't know, brain cleanser.
Dodging a few pedestrians.
Yeah, dodging pedestrians.
You know, a couple of people going past you at 20 kilometers per hour faster. You're like, shit.
Exactly.
So
you know,
really come to terms with life.
It's a beautiful place where you see Singapore. It's in a full glory.
You have
the fast goers. You have the guy slow. There's also a guy on the street who is learning how to do his skateboard.
Oh, yes, those guys. One bridge.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to skate very slowly from the one end to the other.
Yep.
So you don't know exactly how you're going to dodge the little fucker.
Exactly. Right. And you know, it brings out all emotions from...
But it's part of that, right? Like you cycle on the Marina Barrage and you're like, heck, this is nice.
Yeah.
This is pretty nice. And then after that, you have to dodge a kid.
Correct.
Until you get both in one set.
Exactly. You go from serene to rage. Yeah. And that gamut of emotions, even it's improv nice doesn't workout. Give you.
true. Yeah, in improv, your team is usually trying to work with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine you had like kids running around and skateboarders on stage while you're doing improv.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Show idea.
Do you want to recreate the rage that the Park Connected Network gives you? Come to our show.
No, I usually do it at night to avoid people because I'm a real people person. I want to...
Oh, that's when you get the true...
Yeah, you see a couple of... So especially around 11, right? After they left the bars, they stopped drinking, but the alcohol hasn't left their system.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there crying alone beside the river.
And then you go and...
Right, as fast as I can.
Ah, okay.
Pass these people.
Okay. I thought you slow down and then...
No. Yeah. I mean, I know people who do that and be like, are you okay? Are you all right?
Okay.
I'm just like...
Very people person.
I'm
very extremely...
I do my helping elsewhere.
Exactly. Now, each to our own, lah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that guy is like, oh, I'm glad that guy didn't stop.
Possible.
So you never know.
Yeah. Or is like, oh man, he blinded me with his bike light on the way. I looked at him, I can't see now. Ah, okay, I'm glad he left.
See?
That could happen.
Exactly. Very people person. He might know you to be a genuine people person.
Yeah, yeah. I get my people in the right doses at the right times.
Exactly.
Other times, I'm like, no.
No. Too much. Too many people. Okay.
Okay. Cool. So, does improv relate in any way to the thing, cycling? So there are some guys who are like, yeah, I do acting, I do the improv, it helps with the improv.
No, I'm getting away from improv. Didn't you just hear me? Improv is a warm, comforting soup.
I've gotten lost on my rides before. I'm just like, where the fuck am I?
Exactly.
I've never seen this part of town. How is this possible?
No, I did that the other day when Marina Barrage was closed for construction. And I said to myself, what happened if I turned here? And then I started cycling and I started seeing varying levels of trees, because it's basically a tree planting area. Where they uprooted it and then take it out to somewhere else to plant. Then it goes further, like you have started people looking at you strangely, and then the park connector network stops, and then you are on a gravel track, and then you go further. So you get to a place where you're like, you start questioning, why the hell did I should have stayed there till they opened the Marina Barrage, but no. So my point is, improv doesn't do that to me.
No,
improv, I know exactly where I'm going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the schemas, at least. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you're one of the not too many. I think most improvisers here tend to be quite promiscuous.
Promiscuous?
Yeah.
In what way are these improvisers promiscuous?
To be specific, in terms of joining multiple groups.
Okay.
I mean, their own sex life, you know, whatever they can do.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't judge. You know?
But improv, we judge.
No. Improv, I'm more interested.
Correct.
Their sex life, whatever. I'm not getting any of that, right? So,
exactly, yeah. Why even bother?
Pure monogamy for me.
Exactly.
So, you know, if people want to sleep around, cool, whatever. Yeah. But I'm talking about teams.
Teams, yeah. I'm a serial monogamer in the improv world.
Yeah.
And outside as well.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever been tempted to join any other team or do any other non-modern schemas thing?
Tempted earlier days, maybe. And I've had some really good other shows with other teams, not to say that, you know, like, I remember we did a show, the murder mystery.
Which one?
The many murder mysteries that we did. There's a murder mystery team
in
Shanghai.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Right.
I did another one where I had to wear Miguel's very small trench coat.
Okay, there were no small trench coats in our shows.
Yes.
Yeah, this is from a long time back. Yes. So that's my point.
Shanghai. I went to Shanghai.
Yes, I went to Shanghai once too. And that show is what I'm talking about. But yeah, right. I think that was a great ad hoc team that came. And I think we still keep in touch in our own ways. Mm. Not through improv, but still. I think So my point being, that's a team I really look back.
Okay.
But otherwise, no. I don't know why. I mean, there's no reason.
You don't have to.
Exactly.
It's like, you don't look at the monogamous and go like, why? Why would you do that? I mean, you might sometimes wonder.
Yeah.
Depending
exactly.
on the partner, but...
Yeah. No.
Where am I going with this? I don't know.
No. I think I also know why. There was a point in my time where I, as I said, I was actually running Modern Schemers. I think Modern Schemers was run as a team properly for a phase of our for a phase of our improv time, and I think that took a lot on me.
Uh-huh.
We were producing shows. We were like I with the help of others in the team, but I was actually doing all the producing aspect and also directing and doing all that. And that took a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to spend my time and effort during that phase of my improv journey.
Mm-hmm.
Putting all my effort to that, and that was a very learning experience, right? Like, so I want to stick to that, and you know, when people wanted to perform, and I felt I still did that. Like recently was the Indian improv show at Manila that I did with IIT++. That was a great show. So yeah, when projects like that come along that, you know, catches my eye, I still say yes.
Okay.
But it's not something I, you know, keep my eyes open all the time. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself improv-wise in like 9 years and 4 months' time?
In the next 9 years, 4 months' time?
In 9 years and 4 months' time, where do you see yourself?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Yeah. If you asked me this question 9 years, 4 months ago, yeah, I'll be like, huh? Improv? I'll be doing that. Didn't you see the mold up there? I believe in the schemas. I believe we will still be performing together. We would have evolved maybe to another iteration of the schemas.
Mm.
But I think the core of the group, I think we are a group maybe now that is friends first, improviser second.
Okay.
So I would like to believe
that. Yeah, 9 years is a long time.
Yeah, exactly. I would like to believe that friendship definitely stays.
Mm.
It's just underpinned by improv, but it's a friendship now. So I think I truly believe that the schemas will be around in 9 years, 4 months' time.
Okay.
We might be different phases of our life.
Hopefully.
Hopefully the world isn't ravaged. And there aren't, we haven't turned out into the Mad Max of the world. In 9 years, 4 months' time, maybe there is a...
No, just like, some sand blowing, dust ball going, someone being hunted down for his water, then in a distance, someone going like, can I get a suggestion?
Exactly, and that would be the schemas. In this, in the Mad Max world, the schemas would still be there.
Sorry, I just had to.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you for spending the time with me today, Nikhil. And when's your next show?
I don't know. So I think right now, I think we have reached a stage where we don't produce anymore. We do it with you guys. Whenever you guys say, hey, you want to perform? And then I reach out to guys, hey, want to perform? And they go, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and then we perform.
So, awesome. Well, who's in the schemas now?
So I think right now we got Singji, Liuk, Enhua, Mo, Rajat, Amil.
Rajat?
Yeah.
Rajat Verma.
Rajat Verma.
Isn't he like in the US living the dream?
Yep, he's still a schemer.
You should get him in on Zoom or something.
I think so.
Yeah, Improvonopolis did that with Bill, I think. So they projected his face or something and then he did some games.
Yeah, Govind. I miss Govind.
Oh, yeah.
See? I knew I was going to miss that. Like, you always miss one person. Yeah.
Really, you can't. Don't you just see Mo and Govind as like one unit?
Yeah, they're just the brown sugar. Yeah, they're the brown sugar unit within the schemas, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember brown sugar.
Oh, who could forget?
Who could forget the brown sugar? Call out to brown sugar.
Hey, brown sugar, what up?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we should just get them on as a unit. Brown
exactly,
sugar.
Brown sugar. Yeah, so they are one unit. That's the schemas at the moment.
Okay.
It's a lovely bunch of people.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. And I think most of them from a long time back.
Yeah, I guess the one I know the shortest would be, well, same as you guys, Mo and Govind. Right.
Did I say Luke?
Which one?
Did I say Luke? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I said away. Luke, right?
Instantly.
Like, bam. Yeah, there you go. So Luke's also there.
I mean, your first few words are Luke.
So Luke. That's a schema at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Looking forward to your next show whenever MTI decides that we are allowed to once again gather in a small, possibly not very ventilated room.
Correct.
And do entertainment.
Yeah. Indeed. And I look forward to that too. I mean, all said and done, just want to give a shout out to the many improvisers who has helped us out throughout the way, but more importantly to the audience. I want to say that. I think the audience, there are people in that dark room 2 weeks back. I looked there, it's like, I saw people who have been coming for our shows for years and they still show up, right? And that just brings a spark. Yeah, it's a smart and smile to you. Like, oh my goodness. To those audience members who have stayed with us for all these years, through all our stupid shows, through all our crazy shows, they keep us going.
Yes, they do. It's the people, right?
It's the people.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And that brings us to the end to this episode of Geniuses, Poets, and Artists. Thank you, listeners, for listening. For this week's contest, tell us, let's see, what did we ask today? Okay, tell me what the name of Nikhil's team is. And you get a free chicken pin. Email me at contact@improv.sg and tell me your name and the name of Nikhil's improv team and why you deserve this pin. And you get a free pin.
Correct.
Great.
See, free pin behalf of Nikhil and Nikhil's team. given to you by Kim.
Awesome. This was Geniuses, Poets, and Artists. Speak truth to power, and goodbye.